got my lovely wife and my 7-year-old son, and just like everybody else, trying to maneuver this time life consciousness as best we can. Hopefully, you know, a lot of people, existing, not living. So, you know, trying to learn and grow and grow from one to the other, you know, ascend, get a little smarter as we get older.
Okay, so let's talk about wisdom and age and like all the cliches that we learn when we were young. We're like, these aren't real. Let's talk about that and how it relates to like what your definition of love, because I'm sure it changed when you were a single man versus now with kids. And like, so like, how did that evolution go? Because like we talked about before the call, like everyone's on their own little journey, right? So like, how does that journey change for someone, say that's a kid that's under 25, or someone that's like in their 30s that just got married as a kid, versus when you get to like you're 42, right?
Me?
Yeah.
A few more than that, man. 46 next month.
Oh, see, like I can't even keep up. Like time goes by so fast. So tell them now, like from a 44-year-old, 36-year-old, right? Like where I'm at versus like a 26-year-old, what's the mindset like?
Yeah, no, it's a great question and a great point. And honestly, you know, whether I've read a lot of these sayings or phrases, historic or traditional, I've created a few of my own, and, you know, I guess I probably heard this: perception is everything. Absolutely everything.
Repeat that again, because that's very key. People have to kind of remember that. Repeat that.
Yeah, no, it's all about like, it's all about perspective, which is almost the same perception. So what you see out of your eyes, what you feel is different than mine or your mother's. That's just how that is, right? And then we have this automatic thing that we think, you know, we're speaking to, let's say, a sister or a coworker, and they should understand what we mean and what we see and what we, that doesn't, to me, honestly, now, the way I look at life, that doesn't even make any sense, right? So that's where we want communication to be. You want to be a good communicator, which is also connected a good listener. And then if you can have the perception and understand, which is a little bit of empathy or, you know, sympathy, empathy, that's where I think people are wisest. But otherwise, you know, many will just can go through life, and maybe I actually think it correlates with being confused or not understanding things. Because if you can't perceive something other than your own vision or thoughts, then naturally you would be a little confused have blinders on. You can only see and understand something one way.
Yeah. So like, I think Tom Bilyeu is where I learned this on the podcast. Basically, it's like, for instance, right now, like good and evil. People are like, evil's bad and good is good. Right. But like, when you can understand from like two perspectives simultaneously are true, because like, if you're looking at it from some place and then another person's looking at it another place, it's basically different perspective. It's like, remember in 2015, when I went through my like first depression episode, you're like, look at your life. You have a house, you have a job, you have a good career. Like, but then when someone like, I recorded something just now, a live that's going to come out as well. Like when someone just tells you like, listen, you're going the wrong way. Like, just look here and you'll see that beautiful woman or that beautiful man. Like your spouse is there, but you have to find yourself first. So like, talk to them about like, when did you learn that? Like, what age did you like waking up? Cause you've been aware like for a while, right?
Something like that. Yeah. Yeah. It's funny because it comes in pieces. So to say, I guess some people could say, oh, I had this certain type of awakening at this age. I guess you could do that. But at the same time, I would say that I bet little crumbs, you know, fall into somebody throughout their time. And then, you know, you might have the big epiphany at one point. But before that, there were little signs, little breadcrumbs that were leading up to what you may see in your future. Because basically, you know, we create everything. We are co-creators. So, you know, manifesting is actually always going on. It's just a matter of if somebody believes that or not. So you can manifest negative things in your life or positive. And that's also getting off topic, but that's also all based on energy of who and what you are and how you can, you know, control it a little bit better, hopefully when you get a little older, but that's obviously not everybody.
Okay. So let's talk about like practical ways. Cause people are like the law of attraction and woo woo. They think we're like doing magic and like we're in a cult. Like think of like, I wrote the book Belief Algorithm, like the work.
Right.
And then you get the output. Input gets output. You plant a seed, right? So tell them about that and like how you, like you literally, you manifested where you're at You're going to manifest. Remember that car when you went to get the Porsche and you left it in your car? Like, remember the dealership?
I remember.
Talk to them practically why that works and like your reticulating activating system and like how in your brain and psychology it helps you.
Well, I'm not a doctor nor a scientist, but reading, like many, especially nowadays with the internet, you can get it. You can build a house by yourself with the internet nowadays and just watch a video or two. It's proven now, you know, whether it's quantum physics, this and that stuff's proven now, you know, what you put your mind. So I have a thing with our son that we write, I hope some people know what a vision board is. So we have, I created a few vision sheets for him, right? Young, start him young. And so
what's young for you? Because I like, we know a lot of people that have kids. Like what is young to start them off? Like, because we know what's young, but like,
that aren't like, no, I know what you mean. This stuff. I'll give it to you straight. Young is as soon as possible. The way I look at things, right? Everybody has their own whatever, but why? I don't know. The way I would look at it, why wait? You know, I'm going to teach him this thing at 7. Well, if you can start having him touch the keyboard or hold on to the saxophone or kick the soccer ball or whatever, come into the garage with you and, hey, look, here, pass me the wrench. And he's 4. Why wouldn't people do that? I actually think that's kind of funny that people don't do these things. I remember putting a bottle in his hand when they can barely hold anything and they can barely see at that age, at some young age. And what did I do? I think he was sitting up, but back a little bit. And I just put his hands on the bottle. So it was gripping the bottle. But I think I put like a rag or a cloth under, so it was holding it up. And just the muscle memory, you know, what does he know about muscle memory? He was holding his bottle, honestly, within 2 weeks, just like that. So the sooner the better. Another quick one, you know, when babies learn to eventually walk up and down a staircase? Right?
After almost they learn to walk, obviously, right?
Not necessarily. Well, yes, not necessarily, but so most of the time going up is one thing, but going down, almost all babies, I remember, probably myself, they would go down on their stomach, right? Go down backwards and go down slowly down the steps, right? And I remember thinking that at whatever time when he was able to grip, hold something strong enough or whatever, he was probably just started walking soon after because we had stairs in our house. And the whole thing with the baby gates, and I think we tried that. Honestly, I think we maybe used that properly a week or two at most.
Yeah, people and are scared that the kids are gonna fall down. Like kids are like,
yeah, there's too much fear going out there. You know, I'll quickly throw that on some of the mothers out there. I'm kidding and not kidding, but he was able to grip. So I just honestly, and these things take time. That's the other thing with, I guess, a lot of parents in these situations, you need time to do these extra teachings. And if you don't have it, then what can you do? But, so I just put it one hand on the railing, I guess, the spindles, and put one foot up, and then they put the other hand on the other railing, on the other spindle, and then put the next foot up. And he was up and down the stairs confidently, that I knew confident that he wouldn't hurt himself. I would say less than 3 weeks again. So just freedom and knowledge early, you know, teach them young, basically. Going back to your mention about what somebody at, say, under 25 would look at certain things, love and these, a lot of things you cannot know, I guess, until you somewhat start to see them, experience them. Right. So you can say, oh, love will feel like this. It'll feel great. And then if, you know, a heart's broken, it's going to feel like this. But the person can't truly know until they go through. So what, you know, you could only prepare as much as possible, really.
So like talking about like parents being too overly protective of their kids is robbing them from like you put your son in every sport and let him like go lose. And like, because like if you're too soft, you know, that quote, it's like we want to raise strong men. So in order to raise strong men, like your muscle, you have to put them through challenges, right? It's like the rite of passage to become a man. You're putting him through that like early on. He's in taekwondo, golf, and like doing all these things. Talk about the importance of that and not being too soft on your kids, because the world is a battleground. It's not soft out there.
Yeah, that also I don't understand. unfortunately, I do understand what's happening, but I don't understand how so many of us, let's say my generation and older, younger, not so much maybe, but my generation and older, how we were raised with, you know, a bit of, let's call it a bit of, not an iron fist, but a little more stern, a little more strict. And again, let's say my generation, people my age or around there and maybe a little older, how they've gone the complete opposite of how their parents, not all obviously, raised them. I understand, but I don't understand, right? So I'll quickly go into this with what you're talking about. You know, the whole thing of we want to protect our children, so infants and babies, and we want to protect them. So, you know, I'll go with the letter P, right? And I'm going to say that there's a misdirection and there should be another word that starts with P. And instead of so much protecting, which there absolutely needs to be in the beginning, until they're
protect
older.
Protect them from like age, death and like don't do stuff that's like fatal, right? Obviously.
Yeah, yeah. Which is the protection part, right? The basics. The basics are the basics. How to cross the street and don't say, you know, easy with strangers, all that.